Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is a post-E3 Fireteam Chat, and yes, joining me on the show today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Stev Rue. Sean Finnegan is out sick.
Indefinite hiatus. Yeah, what movie are we talking about this week, guys?
Exactly.
I hear we're spoiling Solo.
There we go.
Have you seen it, Destiny?
At the end. No, I haven't.
All right, actually. So at the end.
No!
Right, if you watched last week, you'll get this joke. But
for real, on this week's show, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Destiny right now, including faction rallies, what we think of the Iron Banner currently, and everything else. But we're also going to look forward at Forsaken and talk about some things, including the price point and how we feel about less emphasis on story. So, guys, let's get right into it with a recap of what happened. CJ, you have a whole bunch of notes. You've been on the Reddits,
Gambit,
the Twitters.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean,
tell me about Gambit. What's this new Gambit mode?
Yeah, I mean, did you not watch last week's episode?
Wait,
of course you did. But no, Gambit, you guys all played it, right?
Yep.
Liked it?
Loved
yes.
it.
What is, it's good.
So Steve and I have talked about a few things.
What is it?
The funnest part, well, I mean, Gambit is the new mode. We're going to go through
PvP
it all again.
Cross yeah, it's PvE like a mode.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it's a new want. Custom mode.
Nice hosting.
But yeah, we won't go into the what the game mode is. That's enough. But anyways, fun game mode. What we did realize is that the part of invasion is the funnest, right?
Yes.
Most fun. What's your concern?
Feedback for the Bungie team, if anyone's watching. I love the mode. My only concern is with the tractor cannon and the escalation protocol shotgun and like the Nova bomb, all that combos, you can melt bosses instantly right now.
Yes.
If you melt the boss, the primeval is what it's called. Yeah. If you melt the boss right when it comes out, you lose that entire phase where it's intense back and forth.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
And as yeah. a really good boss, point. I have to say, leave Tractor Cannon alone.
Yeah,
it is nerfed. Well,
I'm not advocating nerfs on anything, but I'm just saying
buffs
you,
on the bosses.
If you, yes. yeah, or something. I don't know what they could do, but if you just spawn the primeval and the primeval's dead, you lose that entire invasion process. You lose that back and forth.
Yeah.
You lose that entire fun encounter, and it's just like yeah. it's just going to get really old.
It's going to get meta very fast. Yeah, yes. I mean, I think it's a really good point. Like if that. I didn't even think about that yet because we,
yeah.
I mean, I played what, one game, I guess?
Yeah.
I guess that's all I've
Me
played.
Too.
It was two rounds, one game, but if the meta becomes what you're talking about, like, yeah the EP shotgun,
because then,
these
it essentially
new buffs.
It becomes yeah. kill 75 enemies
and then
you win.
Yeah. Even in what we played, Fran, like, I saved my super, and as soon as he came out, I nuked him. Like, that's all we focused on as a team, and we won. Yeah.
So there you go. Good question, Ken. Are there ideas, you know, that you can combat that meltdown at the very end?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
and I'm sure
know.
they'll test point. These things out. I mean, you know, we played only a couple times, but definitely, yeah, with that new Escalation Protocol shotgun, I get that that's a serious concern. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I know. I don't, brand, I don't got it yet.
You don't
have
adjust
it
the weapon.
It is good. Yeah. Like, in the build we played.
But yeah, but the yeah. boss health, like, definitely I hear what you're saying. Like, it was like, super fun to be able to play against other Guardians in that mode. So, don't want that mode to disappear by having to be able to.
No, you don't want
to, like, tier the boss. Like, make him put up a shield and you got to deactivate some stuff or something.
Yeah,
you
so
know? That would be an easy way to sort of gate your DPS.
Yeah, if they maybe, like, add mechanics at the end, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but for each, because he's kind of have, he has three health bars in a way.
But they've kind of done that throughout the encounter, right? Like you're saying, because you have to get there first.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if you get there, for people who don't know, once a team spawns a primeval, the other team can keep invading one person at a time.
Yeah.
And that's super fun because you're constantly looking for this person invading.
Yeah.
If the invader kills someone, then the primeval gets his health back. Imagine if the other team spawns a primeval and he just gets melted.
Yeah.
From tractor cannon, shoddy,
melting point, shotgun,
Nova, melting point, everything.
Yeah, all
and then
that stuff.
You just lose that entire intense phase that makes that mode super fun.
Maybe they've already thought about this and there is some mechanic in the boss where that's the isn't allowed. Or
yeah, that's a good point.
It is an early build that we played. So,
and it was really fun. Like, we're all really excited about playing it. But Steve and I were talking about just some of the new weapons.
Nah, you already ruined it.
Meta.
I'm over it. Nice job.
We spoiled escalation protocol.
Well, you ruined it. Everybody's going to do this now. You ruined it.
Anyways, it was a super
but
fun mode.
You're the one doing it.
And and Robbie Stevens did comment because we had a couple questions about
CJ, how many maps?
4 maps.
Oh, thank God.
There you go. 3 races, 3 variations of each on the map, and 36 Gambit experiences per what they're going to be shipping with, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really good. So, and it's cool to think of that game mode. I hope it does.
But wait, private matches.
No private matches for Gambit yet. They hear that it's people wanting.
They're interested.
So they're interested in, like Lars has been replying to people on Twitter.
I assume they want to get it out the door and, you know, like in any game cycle and any product cycle, you have all this stuff, bugs to fix, things you want to do. It's probably just on that list somewhere, but it's not high enough up right now because they got to fix Gambit in the first place.
No, I think everybody's super excited to play it. And then, of course, once you play a new mode, you're like, oh, it's not PvP, it's not PvE, so can we customize it and make it our own? And I mean, it's a fair question, but it'd be good to have a new game mode right off the bat.
I'm glad they're getting some of these details out there, though. I wasn't following Robbie Stevens yet. He's the Gambit product owner, senior designer over at Bungie, so you should go follow him.
Yeah.
And then if you find anything, let us know, because that was a good tweet. I hadn't seen that until today's show.
He watched the episode last week and tweeted at us. So
awesome.
That.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thanks, Robbie. Mm-hmm.
What else?
This was this is totally off the cuff. I did no research, but I want to see if any of you guys read up about it. Was the voice actor changed for Cade?
No.
I've heard a lot of discussions about that.
I saw that, and I saw Bife or something
from Nolan North
on it.
Isn't he?
No.
Oh, no. That's Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
I get North and Nathan Fillion.
Nolan North is Ghost. Nathan Fillion's Cade.
Troy Baker.
Sounded the same, right?
I thought it was. Like, I saw Bife and everybody saying it was an article. I read about it this morning, but no, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Nathan.
I don't see
Fillion.
Why he wouldn't do it.
Wait, people think the build we played wasn't Nathan Fillion?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded
some people.
And he unfollowed somebody on Twitter, I heard.
Nathan Fillion did?
Yeah.
How do people keep track?
I was going to say, I don't know, speculation like, website are we
so
reading?
But I was just wondering, I didn't see any more meat to it besides that. So if you guys heard anything, let's keep the conversation going in the comments. Because I was really interested about it. I love drama like the internet does. And I was kind of like, I don't think there's actually anything there. But I wanted to bring it up. Be like, was this like a thing?
You're
feeling
it.
And if they're killing him, like, he's no longer going to be voicing
the reason
character.
Why the discussion happened is, I think, because Peter Dinklage, the first time when they replaced all the Ghost voice from like year one. But
that was a big moment, though, where they came out and announced that all at the same time. I feel like they wouldn't just replace his voice quietly.
He's dead. He's dead. They made it very clear that he's dead. And then people are like, creating this narrative, and I'm like, well, he's dead.
You don't even need that many more lines. He's dead.
Maybe
this is what's going on. That he's dying. The voice actor's disappearing as well.
I would love a comment from Bungie. If anybody from Bungie can reach out, I should probably ask Jen just directly and just be like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to the show topics, because that was just something sort of interesting that I wanted to touch on, and it was odd. Anyway, so exotic armor changes were the big update week.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited about anything in particular? And we will go over each, but CJ, why don't we start with what you're excited about?
Fine. Yeah, I mean, I hope that Stompies kind of turn into, well, there's no new Bones of AO, and for the most part, if you're a hunter, you're using Warm Husk. So that's the thing that, you know, excited about it or thinking it's cheap or whatever, you're using it, in PvP.
I like Raiden Fluxatone.
Yeah, no, it's cool that there's a bunch of things being updated. I think, for me, that's the exciting thing, is every time there is new armor updates, there's just new game things that come into the meta. Like, what'd you call it for Titan? What's the...
Syntheseps.
Syntheseps, yeah. That's the one that Steven... you want to debate this. Dude, it is fairly OP right now.
No,
especially if you get into, like, Iron Banner.
Syntheseps
are OP.
Not on this week's list.
Not on this week's list, but those kind of things that are coming out, it's cool when those things come to the forefront.
Leave them alone.
All right. But,
What are you curious about for the new one, CJ, staying on topic?
Stompies. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
for me...
And why don't we say what they did to them?
They're basically going to tweak how the directional jumps move. And for right now, for me, like, I like directional jump as well too. There's no triple jump, which was what Bones did. if they have the directional jump move in a way that I think is a little lower to the ground and allows you to move a little bit more forceful, like Destiny 1 triple jump and bones were really good. So if they lean more in that direction, I'll be excited for Stompies.
Yep.
Okay. Honestly, I didn't really dive into this before the show because I saw ACD slash OFE backbends, and visually they are one of my favorite exotics.
Yeah.
So I'm just hopeful that they buff the discharge thing that it does a little bit more.
Yeah, I couldn't really get it to work effectively. It was one of the first
exotics
I really
tried.
People
just hit you and they make their beep, beep, beep noise, and then you'd be like, all right, well, that didn't do anything. That's what they do. Yeah. It says, now grants Fury Conductor stacks on melee hits instead of kills. Fury Conductors now grants stacking melee damage resistance. These changes were mostly aimed at making Fury Conductors better in PvE encounters, while the feedback vents could protect you from the hordes of Thrall by keeping them staggered. It just wasn't that much use against something like a Hive Knight wielding a sword. The changes also make this exotic better in the Crucible, but the solution of just shooting opponents still works. Yeah. So,
Sounds fun.
I love how they look, and I would love to do a cool set with them. And if they're actually functional, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the changes that they made definitely, you know, have had an impact. Luna Faction Boots, obviously.
Yeah, Lunas are really fun.
But there's been some good changes out there. I haven't, like, fully dug in. One for me that really stuck out was actually the Karnstein amulets for Warlock. Boom, we just meleeed each other and got health. Oh, my God. See what I did there? So they have removed melee hits, hit effects. For resilience, mobility, target, and highlighting. But here's the big thing. Melee kills now instantly heal you, then grant continuous healing for 8 seconds, which I'm always looking for lifesaver moments with exotics. It's not quite the fire shield that you got when you were Warlock in Destiny 1, which was something I used all the time, was I would get myself out of trouble. I'm like almost dead. I'm just like, boom, shield. And actually, it was awesome. It's close to that. You got to make the kill to get away with that. But maybe it has, I don't know, some PvP. Like if you kill someone on it,
I don't know.
Get a little health back, you get one more kill because you're at
out
of the encounter.
Totally.
So it's got some benefits.
When I read that, I was thinking PvE. Like, can you?
That was the first thing I thought.
You can combine it with Devour.
Yes.
So you're just never gonna die.
That's a good point.
You're just never gonna die.
Keep refilling your melee. Yeah. Kill someone. Refill your nades.
Lucky Raspberry sounds cool. They took the RNG out of it.
Yeah.
If you throw it into like a group of Thrall, you're gonna get your Arc Bolt back.
That's super.
I like that
cool.
Thrall.
If it chains four times.
Yeah. Well, because you wake the hive there and you just. Yeah.
No, but Karnstein armlets. Armlets, am I saying that right?
Oh, I thought it was amulet. My bad. Armlets.
Yeah. Right. That one is that one's nice.
Yeah. I like that one. That was the one that stuck out to me the most. And I haven't been playing my Warlock in a while, so I'm excited. I've been all Hunter grind.
There you go.
I don't have a problem with the Warlock. I had three of them in Destiny 1, I should make clear.
Well,
I was also Dead Orbit.
You did, yeah.
But I am a Fairweather fan. I've been a Hunter on PC lately.
Well, we're down to Hunter now, officially.
We're going to talk about those factions next. Let's go over the rest of the exotics that we didn't touch on. Steven brought up Lucky Raspberry. They got rid of the RNG. Basically, you throw an Arc Bolt grenade, and if it hits four people, you got another Arc Bolt grenade. You can keep going. Young Ahamkara Spine removed marking functionality, improved the trip mine grenades blast radius and throw speed, and made it so your trip mine grenades are harder to destroy. And solar ability hits now grant some trip mine grenade energy.
I thought this one was interesting. I didn't quite wrap my head around it yet, but I feel like it's got potential.
Yeah.
Just having to shoot out trip mines and then the fact it's going to take longer, or little things like that.
You know what's cool? Shade stepping, getting all your health back.
Yeah, right. That's going to be hard to be better than.
That's the exotic for me. Yeah.
On the Titan side, we got Doomfang Pauldrons. Void melee kills now grant more super energy. Shield throw hits will now extend the duration of your super. And Titans have a lot of exotics that help with your punching things. To differentiate this one from the rest of the herd, we've increased the impact of this exotic has on your super and how you use it. Dune Marchers, you can Dune March better. Reduce the time to activate linear actuators while you are sprinting to 1.5 seconds, down from 5 seconds. Ooh, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And increase the damage of chain lightning effect plus 70% in PvP, 440% in PvE.
That's crazy change. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's cool. Yeah.
You want to do the Warlock honors, Fran?
Oh, yeah.
Next page.
I was going to say Doomfang Pauldrons also sound interesting if you like running shield and everything.
Just yeah.
Because I like Raiden Flux so much and extending that super to have that ability with a shield too. I think it sounds good.
It's hard to surpass Hammers and Striker Titan. I just love Striker Titan so much. And Hammers are so effective, especially with like the kill thing in Iron Banner right now, the super kills you need.
Yep.
Because you can throw like 9.
Oh, for the ornament.
Yeah.
Okay, so Warlock, they are buffing Crown of Tempest. They've collapsed the total number of stacks of conduction Tines? Times. No. Mm-hmm. Conduction tines.
Not so easy, is it?
No, I don't know that perk. Let's try that again. Collapse the total number of stacks of conduction tines with the same total effect. And each stack of conduction tines lowers the upkeep cost of storm trance. Mm-hmm. So Nezarek's Sin and this exotic were quite similar, so we pushed harder on this exotic for storm callers who want to invest heavily in ability use. Warlocks also don't have many exotics that modify their supers, and not receiving the full benefit of conduction tines during storm trance was disheartening, according to Bungie here. So they added this benefit during the supers duration. Yeah. And then we already kind of touched on the Karnstein armlets.
Yep.
And we already pretty much got over that one. And then Starfire Protocol, which I was kind of a fan of in Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting is if you're in an empowering rift, so you're on the offense, weapon damage now grants fusion grenade energy at 20%. So they said, much like you saw with Lunafaction boots, they wanted to give a bonus to players who wanted to go on the offense.
I'm excited to try all these out. I love that they're adjusting the armor perks. Steven made the video last week or last time where we kind of checked them all out. We'll do that again with this when we have a moment and see which we end up liking the most.
It'd have been hilarious if they had added this one. Tracks grenades and kills with one hit. nothing like that yet.
Yeah, that would not be as exciting. I want to ask you guys, so what's going on right now? We have faction rallies coming back next week. Mm-hmm. Basically, the weapon that the winning faction had available, it's going to be available throughout the duration of the thing. You can pledge to the same one. You can pledge to a different one. Everybody, future War Cult. We're going for Sunshot now, just so everybody knows.
Time out. And that's what we already were going for, but we went to E3 and we didn't
get it. That's what I mean. Yeah. I did not get grabbed. Yeah. So bald. Yeah, me too, man.
So just remember, we're all pledging future work.
That works for me because that's what I was doing anyway.
Never won.
Should be like an FWC B-roll banner right now.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
yeah, so I want to ask you guys, and CJ and I kind of thought about this before the show, do you like this new mode of having to pledge to one faction, or do you prefer the Destiny 1 model where each of your characters can pledge to one, then you continually level it up and grind it up? I very much prefer the Destiny 1 method. I'm not really enjoying the new faction rally system. It's partially because of the token mechanic,
right?
And also because of – it's just, I don't know, man. I think they tried something different here, and I thought it would be – vastly different, and I just still feel like they haven't struck that chord with factions the way they did in Destiny 1.
Challenges, I think, is the issue. I wish there was some bounties, and they say that that's coming. So if there's bounties tied to it and there's something maybe for you to do besides just grinding tokens, I think it would change the way it feels.
Maybe. How do you guys feel?
Yeah, do you want to go first?
I mean, I've always been kind of meh on the whole faction thing, but like, if it was the D1 system, you'd lose like the whole event
part of it. Yeah.
And, like, there wouldn't be like a competition.
So I like that aspect.
I like the competition.
Yeah. I just feel like when they take it away, I think that's the issue. Like maybe they're trying to create, like an event out of it all the time. And I feel like it just limits because I want something to do in the back end. And I feel like I do that at all times.
To interrupt Fran as much as possible,
I just want to say
like, why can't they still have the event but still have your ability to grind up factions? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you could still have the competition element while allowing players to grind up that faction.
Thanks for taking my comment. My feedback was, I don't understand why we can't just have sort of factions ongoing.
Yeah.
And we need more things to do, so why do I have to compress it into 1 week?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe a faction rally on top of it does something, which seems to be what you were just getting at.
Yeah, same idea. I think we're on the same page. I'm glad I was able to steal your thunder a little bit.
But no, I do want to ask this question because you guys are saying it. It's not where I'm at. What do you like so much about this 1 week competition? I literally have no – I don't care who wins. I honestly don't. Like, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But I'm not into it. I'm not going to spend 5 hours just so I can be like, I was – you know, doesn't do anything for me. What do you guys like most about it?
I don't like it much.
No,
at all.
You just said you like the competition.
No,
what do you like?
So I like the fact that there is like this winner, and the tower gets a little bit of love based on like, you know, who won and stuff like that.
That's it.
Well, but that's what
you'll
I mean.
Grind out like 4 hours of your week.
No,
and I don't think like the grind.
Yeah,
I like the aspect.
I'm trying to play gotcha here. You said you liked it.
No, I'm saying I like that there's a competition part of it. I don't like that it gets taken away and there's nothing to do after the competition part.
That's much better clarity. Yes. See, that's sure. You know, I don't. I wouldn't even mind if there was competition for a week. Like I said, I just like I don't get much out of that part. Is all I'm saying.
Do you remember?
I was really excited. I actually was confused. I thought going into it, they're going to bring back the Destiny 1 system. Like I'll just grab. You can only grab maybe the faction you want that week, but I can like grind that out.
Yeah,
maybe different characters. Even I'd have to think about it, but it would allow me to just kind of grind every week. I don't have that.
So here's what I liked about the Destiny 1 system more. I liked the element that I would have to strategize which character was going to go on which. And when they ranked up and got that exotic piece of gear, I would rotate them all in a circular way so that they all went to different factions so I could still buy the specific faction weapons.
Yeah.
And I like that strategy of making sure that everybody's covered so that if there's a cool weapon at Dead Orbit, for example, I can still grab that item.
Yeah.
And they seem to just be like, nope, you can only pick one now.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like – I don't know. I don't like it.
You're right. It throttles some of your ability to get all the armor by the time the next season rolls around. Yeah. It seems like it's asking us just to do a lot in 1 week. That's kind of the basic feedback for me.
Yeah.
I don't have time. Like this week, I really want Sunshot Ornament. That's the only real reason I pledged to FWC in the first place. I would like the armor and the ornaments and stuff, but
and now
I feel like, how am I going to do that? I got all this. I got missed Iron Banner this week, I guess, for the most part.
No, dude, it's still going until Tuesday.
I know. I have all this stuff.
You want to play tonight?
All right, maybe let's do that.
All right.
Yeah.
And Iron, it's a date.
Yeah, exactly.
And Iron Banner is solved.
Yeah.
Well, I love six-player Iron Banner. It's good.
Yeah, the one aspect I do like, though, friend, I do like the competition aspect. I don't know if it's implemented the best way, but maybe they could figure out another way to make the competition enticing.
I do like the idea.
Yeah. Without just having it be a who turned in the most tokens.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the bounty system and some of that stuff, I think, could help that.
Yeah, like, what if it was like and maybe for 100% clarity, right, I do like the competition idea, and that's the point of clarity you had at CJ, that it was about it being compressed in a week. I'm the exact same spot. Yeah. So, leaning into what you just said, wouldn't it be cool, if it was based on kind of like your clan? Like, it's have you raided? Has your team gone to the lighthouse? Whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, we looked at all that across Dead Orbit, and, dude, they are killing it.
Yeah.
And then that would be really cool.
Yeah, like who –
we could just play the game and be a faction.
Exactly. Which faction was the most active in Destiny during that time, running raids? And you get tokens for that, but no, it's the tokens.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to cash them in. Yeah. Just look at like completions of stuff. How about that?
It's back to the token system problem of put it in. Like, no, who pledged allegiance, who rocked that banner, and who did the most?
Who got DFA this week, bonus points. That'd be a very comparable system.
I think that would be a little more fun.
How many tokens you have stacked? Because even me right now, I mean, I don't know how many times I've looked at Gunsmith materials and a bunch of other people. They have thousands of them.
You won't have that for factions, really. But
no, I know, but people do.
Oh, I have thousands for Gunsmith. I'm just kind of waiting for a reason.
What if the conversation was, your future war called, I'm Dead Orbit, and you're like, man, I've only done 2 raid runs. I'm like, oh, I've done all 4.
Yeah, it's like, you better do them.
Yeah.
Like, you better catch up. And, like, that'd be a little bit more fun conversation to have with your friends as opposed to just, oh, yeah, I turn in way more tokens than you.
And it's because, fundamentally, this is what I always kind of land on. I want to play the game and enjoy it. And the more you limit me to get tokens a certain way, the fastest way you get them, I don't really want to do that. I honestly really do want to do the Spire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even like Iron Banner is a good example. I really want that set. And I think it's fair that you have to play Iron Banner to get that stuff. But it makes me go and play like PvP when I actually kind of want to go play Spire again.
Yeah.
I think if you look at factions, it's the most open and available thing to do that. Do whatever you want in the game. Be as active as possible and get points for that.
Yeah,
right.
Just level it. But
that'd be cool.
But then you are – so the reason that I would think that would be difficult feedback to give is only because then you're telling the developers to take away the min-max thing because it's about min-maxing your time, right? But I actually think that might be a positive trade-off in my opinion.
You could do it across everything. You know? Like maybe it's escalation protocol completions and if you're really fast at it.
What if it was just time in-game doing things? Like actively doing things and completing things, and they were somehow levelized. Anyway,
I think at a minimum,
I know what you're thinking.
Completion,
because
it's very hard to get everything done.
Yeah,
normal prestige, you know, Spire, like Nightfall trials.
Yeah, PvP.
Get it all done. If you can do all that as factions, get points for that.
Yeah, and not just one thing, because everybody right now does lost sectors. That's what we used to
play
farm
your
anyway.
Way.
Yeah, but that'd be really interesting.
And it's also now only one per account, so. You know.
Yeah. Right. There you go, Bungie. We fixed it for you.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, just do
send
all
us
that.
The code. We'll just we'll give it a little tweak.
I think that's just like equals Fran.
We'll put in private matches too.
Fran subclass and there you go. What else do we have? I wanted to bring up I've been hearing this a lot from the community, a lot of community concerns about the pricing of Forsaken.
Mm. Keep buying.
Right?
Oh
man.
Shucks.
We could talk about the Fighting Lion also. and Iron Banner if you want to bring
I didn't want
up.
To detract from that. I was waiting for time to slip in some
$10
solid invoice.
The Iron Banner. Here's the Iron Banner conversation in a nutshell. Nobody really likes it. Please stop doing it. Please stop selling a $10
I was
ornament.
Surprised an ornament was exclusive.
Yeah. But just wait, Fran. Didn't you buy it, though?
No, I didn't. I thought you did. No, all my Funtertainment's in Fortnite. Oh, wait. I bought the emote.
Oh, there
that's
you
Funtertainment.
Go.
Yeah, but streaming, you bought the see, emote. Is it worth it? I'm doing a service to people.
You're supporting.
No.
You're supporting something.
I was waiting for this. I knew if I called him out, he'd find a way to backtrack.
No, it's funny. They're trying to make a thing out of this. They know as a fact. I don't like that Iron Banner ornament, emote.
You love it.
I do not like it. I bought it purely because I wanted to see how it looked, and everybody was asking, let's see it, sort of. And so I was like, yeah, let's look. No, it's true. And I have no reason to buy. No, as an example, for the most part, I have no reason to buy the Fighting out. Lion stuff other than like showing it in motion, which maybe I should do that. I'm joking. I don't really want to buy those things.
Back on the topic of Forsaken pricing.
Yeah. So how do
we talking about that?
How do we feel about Forsaken pricing, everybody? That is the topic that we were actually talking about. Forsaken is priced at, and I still have the numbers here. It looks like
still
the base costs $39.99 for Forsaken. The annual version of the game with the annual pass is $69.99. If you want digital deluxe, it is $80. So, just the base game without the expansions or annual pass is $39.99. And the cost right now includes the fact that you have to buy Destiny and both DLCs, which Bungie did clarify that they're addressing.
Well, they're saying that potentially there might be a skew later on.
Yeah.
Nothing concrete.
There's no update.
For
you
sure.
have to own Warmind.
You do.
Curse
right
of Osiris.
Yes.
And Destiny 2 and to play Forsaken.
Yeah. And the best price you can get looks like for the $39.99 version and Destiny 2 with the stuff that you need, it's like $80 for just the base without annual pass. With the annual pass, it's $110.
Yeah, and
if you're coming in fresh.
Yeah, and right now there's like Fortnite and then even Battlefield and Division. There's a bunch of people who came out at E3 and said, hey, we're going to do annual pass or like DLC a little different. This is tough for people, I think, to latch onto and go, okay, well, if I didn't like those two, why do I need to buy it?
Here's what I think they should do. Okay, there's two conversations here. There's one about the base pricing of Forsaken for those of us that have been playing the game.
Yep.
How do we feel about that? And then what do we think they should do for players that are new coming into the game? The new SKU needs to be priced at $80 and it needs to include the annual pass.
Right. In
that's what I think.
Oh, and with the annual pass, I'd be okay with that.
Yes. $80, I think that's the price point the community is looking for. Well, I mean, of course they want as cheap as possible, but I think $80 is a fairly fair price point for Destiny 2 base game, Curse of Osiris, Warmind, the Forsaken expansion, and the annual pass. I think $80 is a fair price to ask for that much content.
For all that? Yeah. I think that's good.
Looking at all that, I don't know how they would justify that. But that's what I think the community would
be
like.
Great price.
This makes sense.
Because people are saying right now the annual pass is like it's now additional versus previously it was kind of
they're
structuring it a little bit differently. So
it's funny that, like, at a base, what was bothering me when I first saw the pricing was that I just think Forsaken with if you need to get Destiny 2 and the content, because there's probably something going on behind the scenes. Maybe you need the curse content. You're going to be interfacing through those areas. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the reason, if you need all that content
and then
forcing you to get it, just sell it for $60. You didn't buy the last stuff, and here's the new thing that's $40. Let's just call it $60 like a regular game. I think that's easy.
With annual pass or no?
Not without. Not with annual pass.
And then annual pass is $20.
Which that's how much
so
is it now?
Six, it's
annual
60.
Pass.
You're good to go. And annual, it's more than that.
Well, the annual pass is $30.
The standard's $39.99. It's $69.99 with the annual pass, so it's $30.
A thousand bucks. Meaning we were off by you recommended $80 for both, so that would be a $50 price point with a $30 pass, right?
Yeah. They're in such a hard spot. Like, they have to figure out a good solution for new players coming into their game, and they want new players to come in with this expansion. And also, it sounds like you're not getting access to random roles if you don't expand to this stuff. Like, you're not getting access to Gambit, the new areas.
They didn't say that about random roles, because there's season 4 changes coming.
Yeah.
That's like a sandbox Fortnite change, but it sounds like you need this expansion. I don't want to spread misinformation, so I'm just speaking right now. So
we don't know.
Take this with a grain of salt. We need to do more investigative journalism.
I mean, they will have season 4.
Yeah, but we don't. Yeah. But that's the thing. Right now, we don't
know what's going to have access to the new features.
The issues. Yeah. So it's like when you think about what they're offering.
Well,
it's messaged a little bit awkwardly, and your brain is trying to go, okay, well, which part of the game, and what am I going to have access to?
And when I have to use my brain, I get mad.
No, totally. But if
as the internet,
if recollection serves, though, the roadmap is only for the seasonal changes, right?
But they haven't detailed anything like past Forsaken in the roadmap, though, right?
Bottom line is, it's confusing.
It is. And that's kind of what we're saying. There's a bunch of people who think a certain way, but because the annual pass is different and the price of it, and then I need this, and there's a lot of different pieces of it.
By Gamescom, they've come together. They figure out a smart messaging strategy for their pricing structure, because right now it's really weird. And just going back a little bit, the Forsaken base cost with the annual pass at $69.99, I think that needs to be 60, and I think the base cost needs to be 30. I think 40 is a little.
And I think
they're about $10 too high on everything.
Well, they haven't announced like their bundle yet, right?
Well, this is the
question. What they're saying.
The digital deluxe.
If it's coming, if something else.
But there is one bundle with everything. You're right. That's what's missing. My personal read on it is.
We'll probably see that in like August or something, right?
Maybe. Probably. Hopefully. Like, this is what we need to see. That's what happened last time.
I feel like it's kind of normal for this to happen, even though it sucks for the consumer, but they're waiting to see how many pre-orders they get, how much the demand is there. And if it's not quite there, they will incentivize you with something like this. And wait to do it. I'm sure it's sitting there, actually. They're waiting to release it.
Well, and it's probably a retailer thing, too. And I will say this. I'm excited about Forsaken. Everybody's been asking, you know, is this the time to get back into Destiny? And 100%, I've said.
Pretty excited.
And Steven, so he saw my tweet today and literally, like, copied my
wardrobe. You guys look lovely.
Yeah, good book. You guys are super excited for Forsaken.
Never tweeting out that I'm what I'm wearing again today. You're the worst. I love you, but you're the
I didn't
worst.
Get a shirt, so that's fine.
You did your hair the same
we
too.
All could have
we all did.
But Forsaken is, I think, a really good time to get back into Destiny. Mm-hmm. And I don't think for people who've lapsed from Destiny, I've said that to them. Like, I'm super excited about getting back into Forsaken.
I really enjoyed playing with you and Fran and everybody else. Actually, we didn't play together yet.
Oh, you struggled to say that.
Yeah.
With you and Fran. And
basically, everyone's interested.
Solo dies. Sorry,
interested
what?
In hopping.
I didn't see it. I don't know what the frick happens.
On Solo
just stop right there.
All right.
Because
basically, to wrap it all up, people are interested in getting back into Destiny.
Yes.
And what we're saying is the price point needs to be appealing for new players to jump in.
So imagine
if it's like $100, it's like
that's not appealing.
Yeah.
No. So the price point, in my opinion, needs to be 30, 70, and 80 for everything.
With Destiny 2, you're saying.
Yeah, sorry, let me rephrase that. 30, 60, 70 for digital deluxe, 80 for every single thing a new player would need.
All the way through the annual pass.
Destiny 2,
all
Curse
the way
Osiris, Warmind,
Silver,
Forsaken,
not included.
And the annual pass.
Keep buying.
But you're right, friend. Most. That puts the other players into the position where they feel like they're getting less but paying more overall.
Yeah.
It is very confusing, to say the least.
My head hurts. Anyway, that's all we have time for this week, everybody. Yeah. To recap, was there anything that we missed that we wanted to go over today? We're going to talk a little bit more about the story emphasis. We have a lot more Fireteam chats to do throughout the year. So if we missed anything that we're going to be going over, CJ wants to say something.
I really want to say that there's an epic photo that just went around by
– this is
– I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think it's
– say Mech for now.
Mech,
Mech for short.
It's Two Scott, Two Furious, and Steve Cotton, Scott Taylor, and a bunch of us from Fireteam Chat with Bife and Justin and a few other people mixed into the photo.
Photoshop.
It's crazy Photoshop. It's really good. I don't know where it came from.
I don't have permission to use it, so I'm going to put it up here for 3 seconds. Three frames.
It's fine.
All right, I hope you guys saw it.
That's pretty good.
Actually, so the context here is from the Vidoc.
Vidoc. Thank
it's
you.
It's such a stupid
name. I'm sorry. Don't even. I already asked
you. I know it's trademarked practically by Bungie, and it was actually smart because they own it.
Vidoc.
I refuse to say it. It's a video documentary, and why it's I don't know.
Vidoc.
So, anyway, in there, like Scott, project lead on Gambit, was like talking about the bow, and then Steve Cotton just had his hands on the table. And so, for starters, somebody, I think it might have been Mech, Photoshop first, like a little arrow in Scott's hand. And then they're like, oh, but then Steve's missing a sword. And then it started to like snowball into like these Photoshop wars. Somehow it ended into, instead of Too Fast, Too Furious, it's Too Scott, Too Furious. And it's like all these people.
Which is Scott's real Twitter handle,
by the way.
Oh, it's his. Oh my God. I totally forgot about that. It's so genius.
It's so good.
Did go over
it's so good.
Anyway, check it out.
It's pretty fun.
Go to Scott's Twitter. You'll find it.
There is a ton of great artwork. I want to remind people, by the way, if you ever want to write into the show, we still have the email destiny@ign.com. So if you ever want to write in with artwork or such that you want to see us talk about on the show, because you guys are just doing some awesome stuff. Clinton Felker also did this awesome Iron Banner thing. I had to give him props today. It looks like
it's beautiful.
It looks like comic book art. It's really, really good. Good job, dude. Any other shout outs before we go? Just stuff that's been happening in the community? No? Mm-hmm. We pretty covered everything, right?
We're not going to talk about the non-linear story.
I think we're going to have to cover that next time because we have a meeting.
Yeah. People were wondering what that thing in the sky was for a while, which is where you go to Gambit, by the way. But people were seeing this.
Oh, yeah.
So if you look into it, it's – I forget what it's called. There's the ship or whatever that's pulling this like piece of land behind it. The Drifter or something. So yeah, people were like speculating and then I think everyone's figured it out. Or I think they commented on
it's a Drifter
like,
ship.
That is – you go up there to do Gambit and it's
you need to teleport
pulling this piece
down.
Of land. So that was something that kind of happened out there that I thought was interesting.
Cool.
So,
yeah. Well, we'll go over it all again next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Until next time,
Guardians out. Keep buying. Use your credit card. Shax, do you have any more silver?
Good
God. Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.